Welcome to Assets and Aging, Affording the Future, the California single best source on the issues of aging. And today I'm going to tell you a story, and I hope you're going to listen, because it's a very important story, and it could save you everything. Glad to have you with us. I'm your host, Bob Scrivano, here on KFBK for 21 years. I need to say some stuff first. As always, remember, I'm not an attorney. I don't practice law. I don't give legal advice. If you want legal advice, you should consult with an attorney, preferably one that knows what they're doing, and there aren't many of those around. I have a California insurance license, a legal document assistant license, which allows me to prepare legal documents such as trust, wills, and powers of attorney at your direction and request. That license is recorded, and my bond is recorded in Sacramento County. I'm not securities licensed. I don't want to be. I don't want to have to tell people stories. What else? I'm not a plumber. I can't do taxes. And everything I talk about here is my opinion only and should never be taken as any form of legal, financial, or tax advice. It is my opinion only. The subjects I discuss are primarily dealing with aging. How do we take care of mom and dad? How do we take care of grandma and grandpa? How do we weave through the stuff that's going on right now in the medical world? I'm going to tell you a story, and I hope you listen, because it's going to happen to you, and it's going to happen to your family. It's only a matter of time if it hasn't happened already. And it's a good story, and you're going to have to listen, and then I hope after I tell the story, you will get on the phone immediately or get to one of my workshops immediately, because everything I'm about to tell you has happened. It's not going to happen sometime in the future. It has happened. And so I hope you will listen. With several ways to contact me. One is go to my website. My website is assets, A-S-S-E-T-S, and A-N-D, aging, A-G-I-N-G, assetsandaging.com. 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 You can go to my website and you're going to find a ton of information. You should become a subscriber. It'll give you more information than you can believe. Getting ready to do a new video on this subject today just for my subscribers. You can sign up for my upcoming workshops. I have one more workshop in January on the 25th. And then I have two workshops in February. In the upcoming month of February. So I have three. I have one on the 8th of February and the other one on the, I'm looking right now, on the 22nd of February. They will be talking about this subject and others. If you haven't been to one of my workshops, you've never been to a workshop on long-term care issues, because nobody does a workshop like I do a workshop. Because for the most part, very, very few, if any, people in California have my knowledge base of long-term care and Medi-Cal and all that kind of stuff. Not bragging, just been doing it for over 30 years. And it's all I do. It's all I deal with are the issues of aging. You can also call me at 800-999-8007. 800-999-8007. Also, just as an aside, on my Facebook, on my website, you will find this radio program. So if you don't get a chance to listen to all of it today or you want to share it with a friend, you can go to Assets and Aging and you can listen to my last radio show. If you're a subscriber, you can listen to all my archived radio shows and podcasts, because on my website, I do a podcast every Wednesday at noon. Lasts about 10 minutes. Every Wednesday at noon. You can also go to my Facebook page. If you go to facebook.com/assetsandaging, it will take you to my Facebook page. And on my Facebook page, there's all kinds of links to articles, interesting stuff, things. And every week I do a Facebook Live video. And my last two Facebook Live videos, which are still up on my Facebook page, are on the subject I'm talking about today. which is asset verification and Medi-Cal and hospitals and all the stuff that's going on. And I'm going to tell you a story that I wish I could. I had a chalkboard that you could all see, because I do a little thing called the chairs. And I move Grandma from one chair to another. Well, today you're going to have to imagine me moving Grandma from one chair to the next. It can be Grandpa, it can be my husband, it can be my wife, it can be my brother, my sister, whoever it is. It could be whoever it is. But you're gonna want to listen to this. You really are, and you're going to want to share this program with somebody else, because I will guarantee you that this will happen to your family. Guaranteed. This will happen to your family if it hasn't already. Let's see if there's anything else again. My website, assetsandaging.com, assetsandaging.com, pardon me, and my phone number, 800-999-8007, and my Facebook page. You can go to facebook.com/assetsandaging. Go there. Watch it. It's not a political thing. It's about the issues of aging. It's about information. Okay, so I'm going to tell you a story. And in this case, I'm going to pick on Grandpa. Nothing magical about Grandpa. Could be Grandma, could be Aunt Tilly, could be anybody. I'm just going to pick on Grandpa. I don't know why I've always just, you know, I usually kill the husband off first, and I usually put the grandpa in the nursing home. It's just the way my examples run. But as an aside, most people in nursing homes are women. Most people in assisted living are women. By far. Most people receiving home care are women. Why? Because men died sooner. Okay, so Grandpa's sitting at home one day, and Grandpa face plants on the floor. Grandma calls 911, or somebody calls 911, and Grandpa's off to the hospital. You got to follow the bouncing ball here, folks. Now, when Grandpa gets to the hospital, they get him there quickly, they determine it's a stroke, they stabilize Grandpa, and they send Grandpa home. back home. That's one of the options. They just say, well, Grandpa's okay. Grandma, you can take care of him. Kids, you take care of him. We're sending Grandpa home. And everybody looks at Grandpa and goes, he can't walk. He can't, you know. But they're going to send Grandpa home. And so the family packs, or they transport Grandpa back home. By the way, the ambulance is not paid for by Medicare, so they got a $1,500 bill for that. And then the transportation home. And Grandpa lives at home because the family's been told there's no other options. So they take him home. Option two, they keep Grandpa there for a day, maybe 2 days, in the emergency room. And they say, we're going to send Grandpa to rehab for 10 days. So they send him to a nursing home. Most rehab centers are nursing homes. They send him to a nursing home for rehab for 10 days. They're going to rehab Grandpa. They're going to get him up, and they're going to make him great. And then the 10 days are up, and Grandpa goes home, and the family gets a bill for $15,000 for rehab. But wait a minute. I thought Medicare covered rehab. Well, you see, here, follow the bouncing ball, folks. Here's the problem. Grandpa was never admitted to the hospital. What do you mean he wasn't admitted to the nursing home, to the hospital? He was in the emergency room for 2 days. I know, but he was there under observation. Observation is a code, and you're coded as an outpatient. Wait a minute, he wasn't an outpatient, he was in the building. I know, but for Medicare purposes, he's coded as an outpatient. Listen to this story, folks. Catch every word. But he was in the hospital. I know, but he's coded as an outpatient, so rehab wasn't covered by the Medicare supplement policy and all of it, so there's a big bill to pay. Well, we're confused. I know, everybody's confused. Good luck. His 10 days are up, And the nursing home has sent him home, and he still can't walk very well, and he can't talk very well, and he can't chew food very well, but he's been sent home because there's no more coverage, because everybody was told there were no other options. So far, they've been not told the truth all the way along the way. But this happens every day. It happens three times a week, four times a week, I get phone calls. Bob, this is what's going on. What do we do? So listen to it before I'm in a panic. You're in a panic. Okay, let's go back. Third option. Grandpa stays in the hospital. They keep him there 3 days and three nights, and he's there in the hospital, and he's now been admitted to the hospital. So he's now coded as an inpatient. They still say, Grandpa's better. By the way, I'm not making all of these possibilities up. They all happen every day in hospitals. Every day. Not always with a stroke, sometimes a heart attack, a fall, a broken hip, dementia. Every day, this stuff happens in every hospital in California. And in every nursing home in California. So after 3 or 4 days in the hospital, they say, Grandpa's going home, he's fine. The family's going, Grandpa's not fine, he's... Yeah, but we've decided to send Grandpa home. He's fine. And the family goes, well, I guess there's nothing we can do. They have violated so many things, folks. I can't tell you. There's no care plan in place. There were no options given. The family didn't go home with any medical records. They don't even know who they talked to. They haven't talked to a physical therapist. They don't know what's going on. But Grandpa's on his way home. So Grandpa goes home, and a month later, the stroke recurs, and we start this program all over again. The other choice, I got one more option here. Grandpa goes to the hospital. He stays there for 3 days, three nights, and they say, well, we're going to send Grandpa to Shady Acres Nursing Home for rehab. And everybody goes, oh, yay, he's going for rehab. He's going to get all better. No, he's not. I just had a hospital at this point try to send the grandpa, I think it was a grandma in this case, to a boarding care. To a boarding care, which has no licensed people on staff. The building's licensed, the people spending the night there are all getting paid minimum wage. They didn't succeed, but they tried. But so now they're going to send Dad to a nursing home, or for Grandpa to a nursing home for rehab. You got to stay with me on this story, folks. You're probably already lost, but I'm telling you, this is going to happen to your family. And there's a good chance under these new regs I've been talking about, you're going to lose a lot of money, a lot of money. And if you don't do something about it to intervene in this process, you're going to lose a lot of money. And Dad is not going to get the right treatment. So they send Dad to a rehab facility, Shady Acres Nursing Home and Rehab. And Dad, they say, Dad is going to be here 10 days. And after 10 days, he's plateaued and Medicare's done paying. That's a lie. I don't know what to tell you. There's no 10 days in the rules. Well, there's a 30-day maximum. No, there's not. There's a 100-day maximum. Well, but he has to be improving. No, he doesn't. There's a federal court case called Jimmo v. Sebelius that says just the opposite. But nobody knows that. So at the end of 10 days, Dad can walk a little. He still can't be left alone. He's really unsteady. He can't prepare his own food. He needs help going to the bathroom. He can't bathe himself. But he's sent home because his 10 days are up. And the family now are completely panicked. Because once again, they have not been told the entire truth. And the last option. Somebody comes to me, or somebody, my equivalent, and there aren't many in the state. I know them all. And there's not many that can do what I'm going to do. Somebody hears me on the phone, on the radio, or knows to me, or... gets my newsletter or goes to my website, There, let me tell you what. There are so many people saying they can do Medi-Cal, and I know a lot of them, and they can't. They can't. In fact, I've taught three or four people in town how to do Medi-Cal. I was their teacher. I can name names, but I'm not going to name names. And so the last option is they go to the hospital. They're admitted, spend 3 days, three nights. They go to Shady Acres. Shady Acres says you got to leave after 10 days or 12 days or 15 days. And somebody calls me and I say, no, you don't. And then we begin the process of making sure that Grandpa's going to get the best care possible in the nursing home that he needs, even if Grandpa never goes home. Our goal is to get the best care possible. Home is not always a safe place. Independence rarely happens at home. Complete dependence usually happens at home. And home quite often damages the health severely of the well spouse or of the child trying to take care of Grandpa. So somebody calls me and I say, no, you don't have to take Grandpa out of the nursing home. Well, they tell me I have to take Grandpa out of the nursing home. I said, no, you actually don't. We could file for Medi-Cal and we can preserve what you have and we can get Medi-Cal and you don't have to take Grandpa home. And that's the reality. So much of what they have been told is not the truth. There is no 10 days. There is no requirement that Grandpa improve. There is no 30 days. The limit is 100 days per calendar year. And in some cases, you can go beyond that. Well, the people at the nursing home told me, Bob, that they're going to take my house away. That's a lie. The discharge planner at the hospital said if we applied for Medi-Cal, they'd take Mom's house away. That's a lie. The discharge planner at the hospital said Grandpa can only have $2,000. That's a lie. Well, let me put it this way. It's not correct. Well, but they said the same thing at the nursing home, that Grandpa could only have $2,000. That's not correct. Well, they told us at the nursing home that I had somebody call me the other day or write something somewhere and said, well, I went to an attorney, an estate planning attorney, and they said if 90 days before Dad went into a nursing home, we did an irrevocable trust that would protect everything. There's no 90-day rule about any of that. And I said, no, that's bad advice. Don't have to do that. Can Dad protect everything? Yes. Do we have to do it in a panic? No. Do you have to absolutely understand the process? Yes. What is the chance of you absolutely understanding the process? Almost zero. Because all along the way, you're going to be given incorrect, bad, or nefarious, in some cases, advice. Because the entire system is driven by money. It's not driven by healthcare. Remember, people used to get well in hospitals. You'd go to the hospital. I just had an interesting thing happen. My son and his wife just had a second baby. They live in Japan. And in Japan, after she has the baby, she stays in a birthing center for a week so she can bond with the baby. And for the first 3 days, she's not sent home. And people are sent home after a day after they have a baby. And allow the mother and child to bond and for other things to happen. Mom had a cesarean, so allow her to heal from that a little bit. And for the first 2 days, no one was allowed in except the husband, except the father. The family wasn't allowed in because they want mom to rest and they want mom to recover and they want mom to do other things. Then the children can come in. The family's not allowed in until about the fourth day, the grandmas, aunts, you know, all that kind of stuff, until the person that had the baby, the mother that had the baby, is kind of doing better. It's called health care. The concern is the care of the mother and the child and that they are taken care of. that the proper immunizations are done, that the proper tests are done, that the proper whatever are done. It used to be people got better in hospitals. We don't get better in hospitals anymore. We're sent to nursing homes or we're sent home. And we're sent home even knees, total knee replacements now. When I had my knees replaced, I spent 4 or 5 days in the hospital. I can't remember what, making sure everything was done. I had them both replaced. Now they send people home a knee replacement sometime the same day, depending on what time in the morning your surgery was. They send them home the same day and say, well, the physical therapist will come by to check and a nurse will come by to check on you twice a week. Good luck. So that's the system we live in. And the system we live in, if you're old in my world, is that grandpa is going to be either sent home, and he shouldn't have been, the high probability is, or he's going to be sent to a nursing home for rehab without having ever been admitted to the hospital, even though he was in the hospital for 2 days in an emergency room. He might have even gone up to a floor and eaten the food there, but he was never admitted to the nursing home, and therefore, the normal things we think are going to pay, Medicare, Medicare supplements, all that, don't. And then after 10 days, grandpa and his family and grandma, who's scared to death, have been told that he has to go home. None of which was true. Now, in the second half hour, I'm going to tell you the second half of the story about how you make that story different. I'm going to talk to you about some new rules I've been talking about. I'm going to give you a chance to sign up for my upcoming workshop on the 25th of this month or on the 8th of February or on the 22nd of February. But I have one coming up on the 25th. I think it's almost full. But you can try to get in. You can go to my website, assetsandaging.com. assetsandaging.com, or you can call me at 800-999-8007. The scenario I just laid out, folks, happens every day. Not every other day, not every third day. It happens every day in California, and it happens multiple times a day in California. And the name of the game is money. The hospitals want to ditch patients early because of Medicare. The nursing homes want to ditch people early because rehab pays them $1,000 a day, and Medi-Cal is going to pay them $350 a day. You figure it out. You can have half an empty building and be making more money on rehab than you could taking care of old people who need care. I know some nursing homes one nursing home that told their staff that if you take any long-term care patients, you'll be fired. Now, I don't know about you, but that doesn't bode well for care for elderly people who need help. Hospitals don't want them. Rehab centers only want them for a few days, and nursing homes don't want them at all. The big deal is throwing people into boarding cares, which are cheaper, have a maximum of 6 people, but don't have licensed people on staff. They have people making the boarding care is licensed, but not the people preparing the meals and taking dad for a walk in the backyard. You have a choice. You can defend yourself and you can get the best care possible, the care to which you're entitled by law and by regulation, or you can just become another victim. The choice is yours. I see victims all day long. Every week, every day, somebody calls me and says, hey, the hospital has told me this, the nursing home has told me this, you know, I took my mom home, why did you take her home? Well, because I was told I had to. No, you didn't. But they said I had to. I know, but you didn't had to. I know that's poor English, I did it on purpose. 800-999-8007. If you're dealing with this now, get in to see me. The consultation is free. Don't wait for the workshops. Pick up the phone and get in to see me. Bring the family. But you better start planning for the care. Well, Bob, we did a trust. That ain't it. The standard garden variety trust, especially the kinds you get off the internet and stuff, are not going to protect anything. They're not going to help you when it comes to long-term care. They're designed to avoid probate, which is fine, but even then half of them go through probate because they didn't tell people how to title property. My opinion only. 800-999-8007. Stick around for the second half of the hour. Second half hour, I'm going to tell you the answer. I'm going to lay out a process for you that you can know for a certainty that you'll be safe and protected, and can know for a certainty that you'll get the best care possible for your loved one. So don't go away. I'm going to be back in a few minutes. We got to take a little break so the station can make some money. God bless KFBK. And I'll be back in about, oh, I don't know, 3, 4, 5 minutes. In the meantime, you can go sign up for my workshop or call me and get in to see me. Assetsandaging.com, assetsandaging.com. We're going to take a little break. I'll be back here in just a second. Don't go away. Thanks. We'll see you in a second. Welcome back to Assets and Aging Affording the Future, the local show that's all about the issues of aging. I'm your host, Bob Scrivano. Remember all that stuff I said at the top of the hour, not an attorney, don't practice law, don't give legal advice. Everything I talk about is my opinion only. If you're not sure, go consult somebody who you think knows. And all that other stuff I said at the top of the hour. Everything we talk about is my opinion only. Usually correct, but still my opinion only. Okay. We've been talking about grandpa, and I want to continue talking about grandpa, only now I want to give you an alternative. And I want you to take notes. If you're driving, don't take notes. And then if you're smart, you'll come and see me. If you're not smart, you won't come and see me. It's as simple as that, because if you're smart, you're going to understand that this could happen to you and your family. If you're not smart, you're going to stick your head in the sand and just pretend it's not happening. It's your choice. Well, Bob, it's expensive. Yeah, well, so dying is expensive, and nursing homes are $100,000 a year, and assisted living is $100,000 a year, and board and cares are $70,000 a year, and home care is over $100,000 a year, 24 hours a day. And so you decide. Do you want to get some help and make sure that you don't lose everything, or do you want to just keep living in a vacuum, you know, in a snow globe and pretend that it's all going to be okay? I deal with people every day who all believe it's going to be okay, Bob. How's it going to be? Well, you don't know, but we just know, because we all know somebody that died in bed, asleep at home, surrounded by their family, in no pain. Yeah, okay. I think I know one of those. But I can give you 2,000 people that's not what happened to. Okay, so we've set up a scenario. Grandpa's gone to the hospital with us. First of all, the one thing I want you all to do, I'm still old-fashioned. I don't keep my calendar on a phone. I keep a calendar in a little calendar. It's a little... Oh, like 4x6 calendar. I buy one every year. It's called At a Glance, and it's got like pages in it and dates, and I put my appointments in there. What I tell people to do is go get, when you're dealing with a sick person, the first thing you get is you get a little notebook. And you carry it with you when you go to the hospital. And if there's 4 kids going to the hospital to visit grandpa, they all take a little notebook with them. And every single person, yes, I'm slapping my hands. It's for effect. Every single person that you talk to, you take notes. When my mother-in-law was dying, we went to the nursing home. And I was with my brother-in-law, who had her power of attorney for healthcare. And they expected her to die during the night. We said, that's okay. We're fine with that. But well, I said I want to chart it every half an hour, quarter to half an hour, that somebody went in and checked on her. And they said, what do you mean? I said, well, I don't want her laying there for 4 hours, deceased, and nobody knows about it. So I want every half an hour, quarter of an hour to half an hour, somebody goes in and sees if she's alive or deceased. And they said, well, do you have her power of attorney? And I said, no, but the guy standing next to me does. Would you like him to say it? So he said it, and the first thing, and we charted that and we in our little notebook, and we noted who we had talked to and when. And the next morning when we went in, we pulled the nurse's notes, and we looked. Now, they didn't go in every 15, 20 minutes. Sometimes it was 30 minutes. But guess what? They were doing it on a regular basis, because we didn't think it was fair that if she did die, that she laid there for 6 hours before anybody noticed. So that's the level of detail you have to keep. So when you talk to somebody, you say, well, I talked to Nurse Ratchet and Nurse Ratchet said this, or I talked to the PT and the PT said this. Did you get the copies of the lab reports? Well, no, I didn't. They said I had to get them for medical. No, go get tell them you want copies of the lab reports. Tell them you want copies of the intake report in the emergency room. Well, they said I can't have that. Yes, you can. If you have a good advanced health care directive and it's HIPAA authorized, you can get that stuff. Well, they told me I had to wait until Monday, until the medical. Well, wait a minute. Somebody's got them now, right? I just had somebody, I'm not making this up. This is a real thing, folks. I had somebody recently who had, I'm going to make it grandpa again. Grandpa had a urinary tract infection. And so it was a bad one. And so grandpa went to the hospital. And the hospital, he was in the hospital for one day. And in the emergency room, so therefore he wasn't admitted. And they sent him to rehab, and he was in rehab 7, 8, 9 days, I don't remember what, and then he went home. And 2 days later, 3 days later, he comes back to the hospital because the urinary tract infection hasn't been cured. He still has it. It didn't go away. Now, the hospital wants to send him to a boarding care. And when the person called me, they said, what should I do? What should I do? I said, first of all, get a notebook and start writing down everybody you've talked to. I said, so let's go through the scenario. Goes to a hospital. Hospital sends them to a nursing home that they have a contract with to do rehab. That nursing home that they had a contract with sends them, can't cure the UTI, sends them back to the hospital, and the hospital says, well, it's not our fault. We're going to send them to a boarding care. You have to send them to a boarding care. We're not sending this person back to a nursing home. Wait a minute. It's the same infection. You haven't cured it. Do you think a boarding care is equipped to cure a UTI? And finally, it dawned on my client that they were just trying to dump grandpa. They didn't want it to be their problem anymore because of the way Medicare billing works. Because grandpa had come back to the hospital for the same thing that he put him in the hospital in less than 30 days. Which means there's going to be a problem with Medicare billing. So he wasn't admitted the first time, he's not admitted the second time, he's there under observation. It's an outpatient code. Therefore, they're gonna make more money. Now, they can't find a nurse. So when the client calls, I said, okay, here's where you start. Now remember, we haven't done anything, I haven't charged him anything. We're talking on the phone. I said, go get a notebook, start taking notes. Here's what you get. You tell them you want the medical records. Well, but they said, no. The first thing you have to learn to do when you're dealing with long-term care issues, you have to learn two things. You have to learn how to say no, and you have to learn to say, I'll get back to you on that. You're not under no obligation to answer a question. You can say, I'll get back to you on that. You can't be forced. You can say, no, we're not doing that. Well, you have to do that. No, we don't have to do that. We're not doing that. You have responsibility for this person. You're sending this person out with a UTI to a place with no medical people there. I said, the other thing you want is copies of the medical records. And the other thing you want is a copy of the care plan. What do you mean? Well, they have to, before they discharge your grandpa, they're supposed to, the discharge planner, social worker, is supposed to have a care plan in place. In other words, they're sending him to some place. What's the care plan? Is there going to be a doctor follow-up, a nurse follow-up? Is there going to be laboratory follow-up? Is there going to be physical therapy follow-up? What's the care plan? They're sending a sick person out of the hospital to a boarding care. What's the care plan? And they came to see me a couple days later, and Dad stayed in the hospital, and the hospital transferred him to a nursing home, and Grandpa is now receiving the care he needs, and in the process, Grandpa is probably not going to leave the nursing home because he's so weak. He was beforehand. He's old. And so we've taken care of Medi-Cal, and the family is changed because they've realized that they're now in charge of the conversation. They're not letting the system be in charge of the conversation. It has to be that way because you no longer can assume that wherever grandpa is, whether it's a nursing home or a hospital or an assisted living or whatever, that in the industry, it's called heads in beds. The name of the game is heads in beds. How many heads do you have in beds that are paying? The big nursing homes, the big assisted living things, managers' jobs depend on heads in beds, whether they keep their job. You know, we got an assisted living. We got 50 rooms, and it's owned by a corporate owner that owns 400 assisted livings or 200 assisted livings. And the name of the game is every month in that report, how many empty beds did you have? How many beds did you have that didn't pay their bill? And how many beds did you make money on? And how many beds did you sell extras to? Like doing the laundry or cleaning the room or whatever it is. Or transporting them somewhere. How much extra revenue? It's okay, folks. It's a business. But understand, you can have control over that. You don't have to be. And one of the things I tell my clients to do, and I think I'm better at this than almost anybody, because you've listened to me on the show. I'm kind of have a loud voice, and sometimes obnoxious, I've been told. And I can live with that. So you have to take control. You have to take control. You have to be in control. You have to decide what's best for Grandpa. The family needs to decide what's best for Grandpa. There may be rules and regulations, and you can live within those, but there's also room in all of those to make sure that Grandpa is getting the best care possible. And what I do for a living, what I've done for 30-some years, 35 years, is make sure people can navigate that system, making sure that they've protected what Grandpa worked a lifetime for. And secondly, that Grandpa's getting the best care possible. I remember once a client's wife was in a hospital. In a nursing home. And had been from the hospital, gone from the hospital to the nursing home for rehab. And had been admitted to the hospital, so was getting rehab. And they told him, they said, your rehab days are up. I can't remember how many days it was, 20 days or something like that. Her rehab days are up, and I went through a couple things. I went through the ADLs, and I said, well, can she walk unassisted? By the way, if you can't do two activities of daily living, you're considered to be disabled. And if you have dementia, that trumps them all. Can she walk unassisted? Well, yeah, they said she can walk to the end of the hall and back. Okay. Can she stand up unassisted? Can she feed herself? Can she toilet herself? Can she clean herself? Can she dress herself? Can she do those kinds of things? Those are the activities of daily living. And I went, okay, let's go back to the first one. Have you seen her walk? And that would entail, by the way, walking would entail the first ADL, which is transferring, which is standing up out of bed or out of a chair, unassisted. Well, no, they said she could walk 75 feet. That's always like the magic number. And I said, well, have you seen it? And he said, no. I said, okay, here's what you do. You say, no, she's not leaving until the following happens. I would like the physical therapist there. And then I'm going to come down and I'm going to watch my wife walk the 75 feet. And I would like the physical therapist there standing behind her just in case. And I'd like to know the physical therapist's opinion. Now, remember, they've told him she has to leave. She has to go home. By the way, they're in their 80s. Okay? So she's being told that he's being told that she has to go home. So, I said, well, you go there and watch. And if you have to, take your phone with you. Do you know how to use the camera? And he said, yeah. You know how to use the video? Yeah, I know how to use that. Okay. So when they come out of the room with the PT, start your little video. So he does. And she takes three steps. And the physical therapist goes, no, 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 no. She's so unsteady and turns her around and puts her back in the room. She can't walk. She can't to this day. She's been in the nursing home now for a couple of years. And she's been on Medi-Cal and it's being taken care of. But had they listened, had he done what he had been told, she would have come home, probably gone back to the nursing home later, and it would have damaged his health severely. But all the way along, they were told, no, 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 no. And I wish I could tell you this is an isolated story. But I hear people say all the time, well, the nursing home said that mom can walk or dad can walk or grandpa can walk. I said, have you seen him walk? Well, no. In fact, last time I was there, I said, last time you were there, could he get out of bed? Well, no. Then if he can't get out of bed, how's he going to walk? Does he go to the bathroom by himself? Well, he needs help. Yeah. What kind of help? Well, they have to bring a walker in and there has to be somebody there to help him. So he can't walk. Well, I guess not. So next time they tell you he can walk, you go say, I want to see it. You have to learn to say no. You have to learn how to take notes. You have to know how to manage the navigate the system. And this gets really important. So write this down somewhere. You don't have to literally write it down. Write it down in your head. You have to have documents that give you the authority to do this. You have to have documents that are strong with frailty language. You have to have documents that are going to allow somebody to do this for you if you can't do this for you. Don't assume that just because you're the spouse or the child that they're going to let you do stuff. They're not, because of HIPAA. They're not. So unless your documents specifically say that you have the authority to deal with frailty issues, you don't. Let me give you a quick example. Lots of people have advanced healthcare directives, sometimes called powers of attorney for healthcare. Hang on a second, I'm going to take a little drink of water. I have to make noise, otherwise the dead air alarm goes off, so I have to gurgle. But my voice is tickly today. So a lot of people have advanced health. They get them online. They get them whatever. They get them from somebody. They have the statutory forms. They get advanced healthcare directives. They get them from the hospital. They get them from wherever. And they fill them out and they get them witnessed or they get them notarized or whatever it is. And the power of attorney is springing. What does that mean? That means the power of attorney only goes into effect when two doctors say dad is nuts or grandpa's nuts. In other words, grandpa's incompetent. We need two letters of incapacity. Sometimes it will say when the primary physician, whoever that is, says that dad is incompetent. Well, what if dad's not incompetent? Does anybody really have his advanced healthcare directive? Dad's just frail. He's kind of out of it. Do you have a corresponding HIPAA authorization So in case you have one of those, you still have the authority to get confidential medical records. So if I want the medical records, does my advanced healthcare directive say I'm entitled to get the medical records? I'm entitled to do that kind of stuff. Does it say that? I don't know. I don't know. You have to know. You have to know for a certainty. Is it going to let you sign a contract for a nursing home or an assisted living? Is it going to let you sign a contract for a caregiver? I don't know. Do you have all the documents you need? Well, we got a trust. Trust has nothing in it about healthcare. Trust doesn't say who can sign contracts. Trust doesn't say who can get medical records. Do your documents in my workshops? I spend quite a bit of time on this issue. It's another reason you should sign up for one of my workshops. But when you enter this world, you have to be prepared to enter this world. It's not like any other world you've ever been in. From the minute you walk into that hospital, you're not in control and you have to get control back. Otherwise, you'll just do what you're told. And what you're told is most of the time not correct. The doctor's going to give you, most of the time, the doctor's going to is going to give you the right prescription and the right diagnosis and all that. But how ongoing care and all that kind of stuff, that's being given to you by a discharge plan or a social worker, and they're doing what's best and most convenient for the hospital, not you. You have to know how to be in control of the money, the assets, grandpa, his health, where he's going to be, how it's all going to work out. You have to be in control of that. And if grandpa's going into the nursing home or grandpa's ill and everybody says, well, we're going to send, what happens if grandma dies? What happens if the well person dies trying to do all this? Now we have a whole nother set, a conflagration going on in front of our very eyes. This story plays out every single day in my life. And it plays out hundreds, if not thousands of times a day in California. And it's playing out right now in your family or in somebody that you know. And I've been preaching the same sermon for 30 years, whatever it's been, 21 here on the radio. I've been preaching the same sermon. You can become a victim of all of this, or you can plan for all of this and you can know how you can stay in control from day one. Everybody's done something about probate. I don't care about probate because you're not dead. I care about what you've done to prepare for frailty, what you've done to prepare for care, what you've done to prepare for what happens when all of the stuff I've gone through for the last hour happens. Are you really prepared to deal with the stuff I just went through? Do you know how to say no? Do you know how to say I'll get? Do you know there's 6 reasons why somebody can be discharged from a nursing home? There are only 6 reasons under federal law. Do you know what they are? Do you know the difference between admission and observation? Do you really know? Do you know how many midnights? People will say 2 midnights. That's not true. You better read the regs. It's kind of true, but not completely true. Do you know who gets to pick the nursing home that dad goes to? Or is the hospital going to pick a nursing home in Alameda, as they did with one of my clients? They sent mom to a nursing home in Alameda. Mom and dad lived here. But that's where the nursing, because they said, well, that's where we have to send her. We have to send her to Alameda because that's they have a bed there. Do you know how to be in charge of this situation when it happens to your family? Do they know? Are the documents and records and plan in place? I said before and I'll say it again. Anybody who emails me, I'll send them a complimentary sample agenda for a family conference on how to hold a family conference. When people come in to see me, I give them that. At my workshops, I talk about it a lot, and I give it to anybody that wants one. Planning for this as a family and knowing how to say no and how to say I'll get back to you and anticipating what's going to happen and that nobody there cares about this more than you do. If you expect the staff and the administrators in any of these facilities to care more about this than you do, you're wrong. If you expect them to be more knowledgeable than you are, you're probably wrong when it comes to care and Medi-Cal and the rules and all that kind of stuff. It's important. If you belong to a group or organization, I will do your, I'll do a speaking engagement at your group or organization for free. I really do. I will do a workshop. This stuff is important. It really is. Are you prepared? I want to thank Keyline Digital, who does all of my setup for the show and all my Facebook stuff. If you need help with media, and if you need help with social media, give Keyline Digital call, 979-7067. I like to plug them because they do all of my stuff and they do a good job. Thanks so much for joining me. If this is important, give me a call. Go to my website, assetsandaging.com. Call me 800-999-8007. At the very least, get signed up for my workshop. My next one's on the 25th, and then I have one, I believe, on February the 8th, and then another one on February the 22nd. So sign up for those workshops. Make sure you know how to navigate a system that is built to destroy you. Make sure you're ready when this happens to your family. This story is going to repeat itself in your family eventually. 800-999-8007, assetsandaging.com. Thanks so much for joining me. I look forward to seeing you next week or at one of my upcoming workshops. Have a great day and a great week. See you at a workshop.